God. God wants me to really talk to the people of God. He said, look here, children. You're not going to make it to heaven with your own, with your mother, Holy Ghost. You got to get down to the altar and get your own Holy Ghost. Well, I'm trying to tell the people of God, God wants me to tell the people of God, if the wicked man will stop sinning, if the wicked man will stop sinning and just repent and come to the altar, he said, you shall live. And I just want to give the people of God some just a message to live tonight, just a message to live. He said, tell the people of God, take a look at yourself, your own responsibility, your own personal responsibility. Because I couldn't blame nobody but myself. And God said, take a look. He said that everything is prepared for you. He said, all the blessing is here for you. And he said, if you don't get the blessing, it's because you are holding yourself back from getting the blessing. He wanted me to tell you, he said, look, the blessing is there. He told me, he said, son, you hold yourself back. Elder McCoy, you weren't paying your tithe. And somebody went, why are you talking about paying your tithes? We done talked about it last week. We done talked about it again. God wants somebody to live. God's wants somebody to live. And God don't want nobody to be cursed. But he said, the day that you heard a knock, the day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God's giving somebody some warning tonight. He said, the soul that sinned, that soul shall die. And God wants giving someone the opportunity to repent and turn from your wicked ways. As I begin to close, he said, God, the Bible says in 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, said God did not spare. If God spared not the angels that sinned, if God spared not the angel that sinned, then what about us? The Bible said, he said, I don't wish that no man perish. I don't wish the children to perish. He said, but I didn't even spare the angels. He said, the angels and the devil were cast out of heaven. He said, I cast him into the lake of fire. He said, I didn't spare them. But God said, I don't want to give you a second chance. He said, all you have to do is repent and turn from your wicked ways. He said that if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And I want to be of God. I want to be part of God. I want to be part of God. So to sum it all up, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, I suggest that you get it. As my bishop will always say, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, saints, I will not walk out this door the same way I came in. I suggest that you get it.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe. 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Thank you, Lord, for this moment right now. We thank you that you have allowed us to come together one more time. Now, Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love and kindness, your patience with us and for us. Thank you for this preaching opportunity that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to these your people. and myself. Now, Lord, give me preaching power that I can tell us what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. And the church said amen. And amen. It is just good for us to be here. And had it not been for the Lord on our side, we know where we would be. We would not be. And again, to Pastor Humphrey, well, thank you so very much for inviting the Monadnock Baptist Church family to come and share in this celebration. And to Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Huey Lawson. Amen. And we thank Mount Calvary Baptist Church officers and the board of members. I would like to share a thought with us to blend in with your theme, Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 18. Matthew 16 and 18. Amen. And the word of our Lord says, and also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or gates of hell, or the city of hell, shall not prevail against it or overthrow it. And Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in Jesus' name, I am there in the midst of them. May God bless the reader, hearer of his divine word. And for a little while this afternoon, we would like to blend into your theme, Jesus in the midst. All right. And you know, it's a good thing to know that Jesus is in the midst of your affairs, your life, your business, your everything. If he's in the midst, in the middle, you can glean from him. You can receive power from him. Now, when I speak of the church this afternoon, I'm not speaking of the mortar and bricks. Structure is important. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm speaking of the universal church, the body of redeemed saints who have repented of their sins and who have placed their trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who live according to the Word of God. In the text today, we find that Jesus is the founder and foundation of the church. But the text I just read to you, he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. I, personal pronoun. He's saying that I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to trust someone else to build my church. And there's no question about it that the church is built upon Christ. And really what he was saying is that I'm going to build this church upon myself. It's unquestionable that he's the builder of the church and the power behind its structure. But 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Yes. Jesus is in the midst of his church this evening. Yes, Mount Calvary. It is Jesus who takes every believer, all of the living stones in his church. And whether you realize it or not, the church is still under construction. What he says, "Upon this rock I shall," in King James translation, "build my church." It's ongoing.
Yes, sir.
And I say to you, no matter how eloquent your home is or how it has been built beautifully, if you live in it long enough, you're going to have to do something. Some change is going to have to be made. No matter how eloquent it is, just stay there a while and the plumbing will act up. Electricity will act up. Refrigerators will go out and air conditioning will go out. In the same way with this body, we are under construction. Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, he said, I own the church. Not the membership, not man, but the church belongs to me. He shed his blood for the church. Yes. On this rock, I will build my church. Yes. Rock, the one religion believed that when he said Peter, which means petrol, which is a small pebble, that the church is built up on Peter. No, no. But the confession of and the confession of true believers is what the church is built upon. It's through the preaching of the gospel that Jesus builds his church. For Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He said, Rock, he's saying something. He says now, Rock symbolizes stability, structure. And a building is only as strong as its foundation.
Yes, sir.
A rock symbolizes strength. Yes. Paul said the other day, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's Jesus who strengthened the church.
Yes.
He is, you know, the rock of ages, rock of Israel. He's my rock, he's my redeemer, he's the precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16. Jesus is in the midst of the church this evening, Mount Calvary, the church purpose. He's in the midst of it. But the purpose of the church is to make disciples. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded of you." Church purpose, his sole purpose, is to make disciples. And Christ, as a builder and maker of the church, he draws souls to himself. He unites us together in his love. Not only he's in the midst of the purpose of the church, but he's in the midst of the power of the church in the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power and unit of the church. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our enabler. You remember what Jesus said to those disciples after he had resurrected? He said, "Remain in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father." That was the Holy Ghost. "Then you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all of the nations." Luke's gospel say, "Remain, tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high." It is the power of the Holy Ghost that enables us to do the will of God. He has to be in the midst of his power. He has to be in the midst. And he's in the midst of the church perfection. For he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, gates of hell, the city of hell will not overthrow. That lets us know the church got enemies. Inside and outside. But the text says that nothing can overthrow the church. The church will be here. Because the church lives after the word of God. See, flowers will fade away. But the word, grass will wither, but the word will stand forever. When you look out, you don't see no grass, nothing green. You can start saying, well, something wrong here now. But the word will still be standing, no matter what. Nero tried to destroy the church, but he couldn't do it. No, he couldn't do it. Tried to burn it down, but he couldn't do it. It still survived. He even hung it on a cross. He said, we know it got it now. He didn't shut it down. He just opened it up. But all of a sudden, the morning, the builder, the founder, the foundation of the church got up. Oh, wow. And he's in the midst, Mount Calvary, according to your theme there. Where you say, for where two or three are gathered in my name, not in Willie Duncan's name, but in Jesus' name, there I am in the midst of them. And what he's saying in that is that he's in the midst of the prayers of the church. That's what he's saying. He's dealing with prayer now. What he's saying is that when we are guided by the Holy Spirit, we will pray according to the will of God. And the Holy Ghost will be in our midst and guide us through the prayer with that same word. He says he'll be in our midst. Well, two or three. And that's important because he's saying that if there's two people with sincere agreement, they are more powerful than 1,000 with supernatural agreement. When you are being aided by the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry. He will take care of you. And you know, it's a good thing that Jesus was in the midst of that wedding at Cana when the wine ran out. Oh, he was in the midst. Mary went to him and he said, darling, it's not my hour. Then Mary goes to the son and said, whatever he say, that's where Nike got their statement from. Just do it. Whatever he say, just do it. See, Nike wasn't the first one saying that. That's why Solomon said, nothing new up under the sun. Just do it. And when he's in the midst of whatever you're doing, just do what he's saying. Between the dipping and the sipping of water, fill six ugly, dirty water pots with water. We're not thirsty for water, but we need some joy. That's why they call it joy juice long time ago. Y'all looking at me kind of funny here now. You don't want me calling no names today, do you? I may be on somebody's street. Ivy Park, and keep on going. But between the dipping and the sipping, ordinary water became extraordinary wine. You remember that day when Jesus was in the midst at Bethesda, the house of mercy, five porches with sick people all over the place? But one man, been there 38 long years, he'd been coming. But because Jesus was in the midst, he was able to leave there walking. Somebody brought him crawling, but he left walking because Jesus was in the midst and told him to get up, pick your bed up, and walk. It's good when he's in the midst.
Yes.
When you've been paralyzed by trials and tribulation, he'll give you power to walk out of it. Good to know when he's in the midst. What I like about it, he won't never leave you. He won't never leave you. He says in Matthew 28:19, lo, somebody named Lo, Lo.
Yeah.
If your name ain't Lo, you just put your name there. Willie?
Yeah.
Whatever your name, Henry?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Lo, I am with you always. How long is always? Always. Till the end of ages. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you, not forsaken you. He promised us that he'll be in the midst of your sorrow. He's in the midst of your joy. He's in the midst of your peace. He's in the midst of your love. He's in the midst of your long suffering. He's in the midst of our faith. For Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus spoke, God spoke to Moses. He was in the midst of a burning bush when he told him to take his shoes off. You're on holy ground. It's good to have him in the midst of your affairs. Thank God he went to Calvary, found himself in the midst again. Between two thieves, one on the left, one on the right. One on the left said, if you're the Messiah, save yourself, then save us. The one on the right said, we desire to be here, but this man have done nothing amiss. Then he cried out, Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, remember me when you get to your kingdom. He stopped dying in the midst of two dying men and saved 10-6 souls. Said, today, right now, you'll be with me in paradise. Ain't it good he went to Calvary? Hanging up on a cross. Nails in his hand, nails in his feet. He was in the midst of redemption and rejection. He was in the midst between God and man, between heaven and earth. He was in the midst, but he died. He died. He died. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Died till the sun took a lunch break. Died till the Roman soldier cried, surely this is the Son of God. Died. But that's not the end of the story. They laid him in the midst of a rock. A rock in a rock. With a rock trying to keep a rock in. But early, 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 Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my rock of salvation, my rock and my redeemer, got up, got up, got up. Love power, all power, Holy Ghost power, changing power. Really? I don't know what time it was, but Mark said it was dark. One man said it was before Farmer Brown when he got the eggs for his breakfast. Before the morning dew kissed the pebbles of the roses, he got up with all power. And he's alive right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, still in the midst of us, interceding for us. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? You know him. Has he ever done anything for you? Do you know him? If you know him, say yes. Yeah! Yeah! I know he's all right. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me. I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry along. Good evening, Mount Calvary. Hell yeah! 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 He's in the midst, even in the midst of our sickness, midst of our troubles, he's there to comfort us, to encourage us, to heal us, to deliver us.